the healer. He is the maker. He is the potter. He is everything. He is amazing. He is awesome, almighty, and all-knowing. And that is wonderful to know. And as Brother Bill prayed there and he mentioned all the things that are going on in the world, we can be free from all these fears. We can be free from this burdening us down day to day. And the fact that these wars and the crazy political outrage and all the animosity of what we see in life around us, we can be free from all that. And you know, and as we look at it in Joseph's life, a little bit that we looked at it last night, we can see how he had no concern except for doing what God would have him to do, even with all the things he was being plagued with the hatred of his brothers, with the dreams of which he was filled with, and him speaking the words to them, and them not just hating him for his dreams, but hating him for his words. And you know, how often is it in life that we're hated for our words? How often do we see this play out in our day-to-day life, that we can see the words of which we speak so freely that God give us the ability to speak freely, and how we're bashed and how we're slain and how we're often thrown under the bus and tormented for speaking what we feel, for speaking the truth of God's righteousness, of speaking of the truth of his word, and standing up for what we believe. You know, and that's what's sad in society. That's the part in society that we can't hold on to and we can't let bring us down, because there's often times in my life, and I'm sure often times that we've all faced at some point, that our words often causes harm, because we speak the truth to our friends, we speak the truth to our families, and they disagree with us, and they bash us for it. Not just that we have a conversation and that we can debate things, but the fact that we're bashed and we're ridiculed for what we believe. And God give us that right and that will. And as brother, like I said, as Brother Bill prayed that about this, that we can be free from fear. We can be free from all this just by trusting and believing in what God, in that God knows exactly what's going on. Believing that he understands that all of our fears, and he's given us a way through the Gospels of Jesus Christ that we can read, and that will comfort us. That will comfort us and relieve us from these burdens. As he said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. And that's one thing in our Christian life that we should carry around with us every single day. That we know that God cares for us, and that we can give and go to him and ask for help and remove any discomfort or any distrust or any faithlessness that we may carry around from time to time, and that we can come to him, and he will relieve us from that. It's like Ben Songy saying, time has made a change in me. Time has made a change in us, although we can't always see it in ourselves. People outside can look at us and see change, whether it's good or bad. But oftentimes, when we look at ourselves, we don't see the good that has changed in us. And that's what's troubling, because that's what Satan wants us to think. He wants us to say, I am no good. I will never live up to what God expects from me. I will never be able to do this on our own. I will never be the Christian that I'm supposed to be. And that's true in the aspect of I will never. But with God, I will. With God, and as a team of Christian believers and of fellowship. And that's why it's so important, togetherness. Togetherness is so important. And that's why Joseph's story touches me so much, because he's kind of left out there. He doesn't really have anybody truly to turn to except God. And so that's what helps me as a Christian to look at Joseph. He was sold off into slavery, not once, but twice, is what we're going to see this morning. He's sold by his brothers. And then we see again that the Ishmaelites that he was sold to will sell him to Egypt, will sell him to Potiphar, and all through his life, this is not the last time. It's not the last time that something detrimental is going to happen to him, or at least what we think is detrimental, because ultimately in the end, that God's glory is shared and God's glory is revealed. And that's the thing that we can have trust in, that we can have faith in, is that God's will be done. As Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, that not my will, God, but yours. And that's a hard thing to, it's not hard to say, but it's a tough thing to regurgitate. It's tough to live it out every minute of every day. That's why Paul tells us to pray without ceasing, I believe. I believe that's why he reiterates that time after time after time in different phrases and different words, that looking to God and keeping Him first, fulfilling all righteousness in Him, look to the kingdom of heaven and look to the stars above and look to God and trust fully in Him, and not on our own understanding, but unto God's understanding, unto His understanding. And that's what Joseph really had from an early age. And it's amazing to see from 17 years old, the fear and the fear he must have felt at some point, but it doesn't display that in the words. It doesn't display that in the text of the story that he ever, through in verse 37, that he doubted God. But it just says that he continued to trust in Him, and people saw that in him, is what we're going to see this morning. So last night we saw where Joseph spoke the truth. His brothers didn't like it. They pretty much sold him to the Ishmaelites, slavery, and that he would, they tried to disguise his death to their father Jacob through deceit, and because of the envy that they carried in their hearts. And that's a dangerous thing. We saw that last night, how envy and jealousy can cause us to do things that we normally would not do in our life. So this morning we want to look at Genesis 39. We're going to skip over 38 just for the sole fact it doesn't really tie directly to Joseph's life, but there's so much, and I advise everybody that you would read 38. That you would read 38, and we may touch on this at some point in the future, Lord willing, that we can look back and really pinpoint some really good points of what's brought out in verse 38 of because of deception and because of being deceived and dishonored, dishonoring of God Himself. And when you don't do what God says, and how it can affect your life for years on end, and maybe even generations down the road. You know, so because we see the promise that was made to Abraham, we see how that promise was made to him, and how the promise continues on. How it continues on through generation after generation, and through that heritage, through that lifeline there. So in chapter 39, we see it picks up with Joseph, and it says that, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh," he was a captain of the guard, he was an Egyptian, and it says that he bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there to Egypt. It says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of the master of the Egyptian." It says, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." Stop right there for a minute. So notice that his master saw that the Lord was with Joseph. And that's what I'm talking about, that people can see things in us that we can't necessarily always see in ourselves. Joseph had just made it down here to Egypt. We don't know if there was a time frame, if there was an extended time frame over this, that he saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and that he saw that everything that Joseph did was prosperous. We really don't know the time frame on this, but just meeting somebody for the first time, you can tell a lot about people. For the first time, from a handshake to eye-to-eye contact, how they speak, how they carry themselves, how they hold themselves upright, or if they're slumped down, or if they don't make eye contact with you. Those are things that we as human beings have come to decipher and come to tell about people, and how we can tell just a little bit about someone. We can tell about how they speak, their words, of which we speak. We can tell if they're Christian followers. We can tell how they speak, if they're of love, if they're of kindness, if they're of a tender heart, of gentleness, if they're meek and humble spirits. We can tell that about people. And that's what we see here, that as Potiphar has purchased Joseph, And he saw something in Joseph. He saw something in Joseph just like God has seen something in us. As we've obtained the blood of Jesus Christ through the operation of God, which is baptism, washing away of our sins, as Christ has come into us and we are in Christ, we can see change. We can see change whether we're holding to the Bible, whether we're holding to the Spirit of God, or if we're still trying to hold to the world at the same time. It's not possible. And Brother Bill did a great point on bringing that out a couple weeks ago, talking about you can't hold to both the world and to the Spirit at the same time. Because at some point, you're going to be stretched, and that rope is going to break at some point along the way. It's just not possible to hold to both ends of it at the same time because it gets out of reach. It gets out of control. And what we see with Joseph here is he's been sold. Potiphar is Pharaoh's right-hand man. Even though Joseph didn't know what he was about to face, we see that by Potiphar's reaction, seeing that everything that Joseph did prosper, we see that he still had God with him. He still trusted in God. He prospered in his life. And let me touch base right there real fast before I go further and lose this thought, is the fact that just because we look around the world and people are prosperous monetarily, people are prosperous physically with things on this earth, it doesn't always mean that they're following after Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that they're always followers of God. So see, that's the thing, but it's when we're tempted. It's when we're tried. It's when our feet are against the fire, and that's what tells whether we're going to hold to our faith in God, with our trust and belief in Him, or if we're going to turn and hold to our own understanding and thinking that, hey, look at what I have done. Look at what I have been able to accomplish and how I do so many wondrous works and do so many great things. Well, it's nothing that we do. It's nothing that I do. It's what God does. And that's where God gets the glory. That's the difference in a Christian and a true believer and a true follower versus one that's trying to hold to the world and trying to hold to the Spirit. That's the difference to me. That's my opinion. And that's what I see in the Gospels and through the Word. And so we see that Joseph keeps the faith that God would protect him. We see that Joseph never wavers with this to this point. It says in verse 4, it says, "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him." He found grace unto Potiphar for his faith in the Lord, for his belief and trust in the fact that God knew what he knew what God was doing. Although Joseph couldn't really tell for sure what was going to happen, we know that he did not lose his belief in him because Potiphar could identify that in him. And so because of his trust and because of his favor with God, Potiphar found grace unto Joseph. So instead of just taking Joseph and throwing him out to the field and putting him into another part of the household or into the servants that were at the very bottom, he brought him straight to the top, pretty much, I'm going to say almost. He brought him to the top. He set it in his sight, and he served him. He made him overseer over his house, and that all he had, he put into Joseph's hands. How awesome is that? That this guy was just betrayed by his brothers. He was just betrayed by his brothers and sold, and he comes to this foreign country. He's brought into Egypt out of his heritage. He's a Hebrew, and he's living upon the Egyptians, not knowing exactly what's going to happen. And that Potiphar makes him overseer of his entire house. He finds that much trust in him that he would give him control over all his house. So now he has control over all this. He has authority. He has a great deal of responsibility, I would say. It says, "And it came to pass from the time that he had made him an overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. For Joseph's sake," he says, "and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." He says he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. he knew not all he had. He says, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored, it says. So we see Potiphar saw Joseph's faithfulness and how God blessed him. And now the Potiphar's house is being blessed on the behalf of Joseph. Joseph made an overseer of all his belongings. Grace was found unto Joseph. And Joseph is honorable and he's trustworthy. And that's what we're going to see. We see that he's honorable, he's trustworthy, and that he's going to do what's right in the sight of God. And even when he's tried, even when he's tempted with other aspects of life. So what I want to look at for just a split second, 2 Corinthians 8 chapter, and Paul mentions to the church of Corinth here, and he's speaking about Titus here. He's speaking about how his heart, and he has earnest care. It says in verse 16, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you as Paul had unto the church of Corinth. Titus had the same aspiration and same joy and same kindness about him. He says, for indeed he accepted the exhortation in verse 17. So it's 2 Corinthians 8:16-21 is what we're going to look at. For indeed he accepted the exhortation by being more forward. Of his own accord, he came unto them. He says, and we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who also chosen of the churches to travel with us with his grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us. He says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. We have sent with him our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence that I have in you. See, Paul has this understanding. Paul has this ability. He has that ability to decipher. He can see Titus's heart. He can see how Titus has stepped up and how he could, and God has allowed him to see this. Who to put him, how to put him into trust in his churches. But the key, because he says in 21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And that's what we're talking about with Joseph, is that people can see. Potiphar was able to see the godliness that was in Joseph. Do people see the honorableness, the godliness that's in us as God saw it in Paul, as God saw it in Paul's ability, as Paul was able to see it in Titus? Are we able to decipher and make that deciphering with people around us? We see Joseph described as goodly, and when you look at goodly, this isn't goodly like a godly sense. This is a goodly as he was attractive. He was pleasantly attractive when you look up the word goodly. So it says Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. So that's what we're going to see, the importance of what we're going to see here in the next couple verses. Is that, so we'll pick up in verse 7 of Genesis 38. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. He says, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wrought not what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. He says, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but you. He says, because you are his wife. He says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Here we have Joseph being tempted. And really, this is probably really his first temptation that's in the book here. That we can see that he's being tempted here of he has power, he has authority. He says that there's nothing that's kept back in his house at all from me. And he says, except you. And see, he identified the fact that this was not his woman. This was not his lady. This was not his wife. And he knew it was wrong. He knew it was not the right thing to do. He was able to, with all his pristine, with all his attractiveness, I'm going to say, with all his demeanor and his prosperity, a lot of times when people get power, they think they can do whatever they want. When they think, when you have money, when you have entitlement, when you have the ability to go and do whatever it is that you want, people get, sometimes let that go to their minds. They let it go to their heads. And that's what we see in society. That's what God has warned us about over and over. That's why he says, hold fast to the faith. Stand strong. Be of the faith. That's why he constantly reiterates that over and over. Because it's so easy to want and to chase that power. To chase that feeling of, I want it all. Of, I don't want to stop. I don't want limits. I don't want to feel like I'm being limited to what I can do and what I can have. I want to feel like I can go and take. And that's why that's why Joseph here shows great restraint. He shows great righteousness unto God, great trust and great belief, and great obedience. That's what we said last night. The fact that obedience is a key to a Christian success. Is finding obedience and understanding what that is as a Christian. It says, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph in verse 10, day by day. So we see that she's not stopping. She's seen something that she wants. She sees something that was pleasant to her eye, so to speak. And so day by day, she's constantly pressing Joseph. And it says that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, or to be with her. So he recognized the fact that, hey, this is dangerous. This is dangerous here. This is something I may not want to play with. This may be something that I don't want anything to take place in. And that's what we have to identify today. We see pornography. We see women and men taking their clothes off, being tempted by the almighty dollar. We see people being tempted with... Now we're talking about it and spring into sports. We see people being tempted to throw games and to lose just to obtain more money. I mean, how much is too much? People are being paid millions and millions of dollars daily for their day-to-day jobs, but it's not enough. It's not enough. But for Joseph, and this is the important thing. The love of God, when we have that, that's enough. That's the fulfillment of what we want as Christian people. That's all the fulfillment we need, is to know that God loves us and that we want to change and that we want to be better. And we constantly chase it. And that's a great thing. We constantly do want to chase that, because if we ever get to the point and we think we've got it all figured out and we think that we don't have to chase it anymore, that's what's dangerous to me. Because I've challenged myself with that. I'm challenged with that all the time, of getting to a certain point and then feeling like, okay, I can kind of ease off. I can kind of take a break. And then you know what happens? Sin's at the door, like we saw with Cain and Abel, and what God told him in the fourth chapter of do good and be of acceptance. But if you take time off and think you're okay, sin is lying at the door. And I'm preaching at myself so much in this all the time. And that's what we got to do. That's what it is. It's finding the scriptures, it's finding the passages that speak to us, how God speaks to us, whatever it takes to keep us on the straight and narrow path, and the path that leads us to life everlasting. And along that we're bearing burdens with one another. And that's the thing that Joseph didn't have, except with God. He had God. That's all he had. That's all we see that he had as he's being plagued by this lady that's after him day by day. So in verse 11, it says, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. He says, and there was none of the men in the house there within. He says, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. He left his garment in her hand, he fled, and he got out. So see, even though time after time, you know how sin is? It's not that, hey, I'm going to tempt you with this, and I'm going to fall into it the very first time. No, that's not what it is. That's not what it is at all. And James paints a great picture of this. James, first chapter, creates a great picture of what sin is and how it works. And it takes time. It takes evolvement. It's not necessarily the first time or the second time or even the tenth time. It could be months. It could be days. It could be weeks. It could be months. So it says that when she caught him by his garment, he left, he fled. But in verse 13, it says, and it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called upon unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he has brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when she heard that I lifted up, or when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got out. She laid his garment up by her until his Lord came home. She spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which you have brought unto us came unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, she says, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when my master heard these words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. See, sometimes it takes reiterating a story multiple times before we actually believe it ourselves. In this case, I see that this lady, she's not only told her husband, but before he got home, she told the servants so that the servants would be witness to what she claimed happened. So now that she can tell her master, because she's not getting what she wants, what she expects that Joseph should have given her. We see that Joseph is truly tested. We see that Joseph truly kept that he was able to overcome the temptation day after day after day that he was tempted. Joseph continues to face temptation and he stands his ground. That's tremendous. You gotta think, this man is young. We don't know if time has passed. We don't know if he's still 17 at this particular time or not. But I mean, to be young in life, to be attractive, and to face this kind of temptation at this particular time, it's really great to see that he's able to stand his ground. He's able to be obedient to God because he understands that following after God is the right way. That the things of this earth are temporal, is what Paul tells us in the Corinthian letter as well. That these things are temporal. And the things that are everlasting are the things that are worth chasing. The things that are everlasting are the things that are tough. Because great things take time. Great things take time. Great things do take time. Joseph's been sold twice. He's been teased. He's been hated by his brothers for the dreams of which were given to him by God, I'm going to say, because everything comes from God. He's thrown into a pit. He's presumed dead by his brothers unto Jacob. And now he's being tempted of his master's wife for what? Because of all the good? Because of his honorableness? Because of all that he's been given, his authority that he's had, his trustworthiness that he's had has just been broken now in his master's eyes because of a lie, because of something that was dishonest by Potiphar's wife. By Potiphar's wife, all because of this small thing. Now Joseph's going to face another situation that isn't pleasant to him for something that he hasn't done, but he's been honorable to under God. He's been following after God. He's been trusting in him. He's been giving all that he had to them. Oftentimes we face tough situations like this. We feel that our situation is unique and that no one can understand sometimes. We feel like we're alone. We feel like we're in a corner. We feel like we have no one to talk to sometimes. And that's not what it is. That's not what God, how God designed it. That's not what God intends for us to feel. That's why, like I said at the beginning, it's that we hold fast and that we stand firm and that we're always looking unto God. Colossians 1 and 3 and 1, that we're always looking to the heavens. We're always looking up. We're always reminding ourselves that the things that we have, the things we experience, the spiritual things, all come from God, and that we continue to look for these things as we see in Joseph's life so far. And so as we face these unique situations and we face struggles of life and temptation, that we don't lose sight of the love of God. The love of God that He gives us through Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, he says, there is no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man. And that God always makes a way of escape. Let's read that whole thing. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, because I love the writings of Paul, and I love the writings of it all. But he goes through, he talks about the history of Israel in this chapter. He talks about how, he says, all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In verse 2, that's 1 Corinthians 10, he says, and he did all eat the same spiritual meat and ate and drank all the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. He says, but many of them God was not well pleased with, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. He says, now these things were for our examples, to the intent that they should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither that be idolaters. Neither that we have something so much that we focus on it so much that we put it above God. He says, as you were some of them, he says, as it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. He says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,000 and 20,000. Wow. In one day of allowing their hormones, allowing their temptations, fallen one day. He says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents, it says, and neither murmur, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. He says, now of all these things happen unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he falls. He says, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you and me, all Christian people, may be able to bear it. How amazing is that? That we can see how people before us have tried to do things on their own and have failed when they lose sight of God. We see how Joseph is being tempted. We see how Joseph, he's never wavered. He's not wavering. He showed his faithfulness towards not only God, but he also showed his faithfulness towards Potiphar and his family. Because he did not commit fornication. He didn't commit adultery, I guess you could call it, being that she was a married woman. When we know who God is, and we can truly find that respect for God as we do our own fathers, our earthly fathers and mothers and family members, brothers and sisters, and we can truly respect Him in that way, our obedience becomes easier. Our obedience becomes just a little bit easier to understand that, hey, I don't know about y'all, but I've never wanted to be a disappointment to my mother. I've never wanted to disappoint my mother. And God is above that. God is above that. I don't want to disappoint now. I don't want to disappoint my kids. So even that, having that relation and that understanding, to know that I don't want to be a disappointment to my kids, that's even a greater thing. So, realizing every day that what Jesus did for us, realizing that Jesus is also the key to success in our life, that just as Jesus was before Pilate, as we see that Joseph has been before his master, he's been honorable, he's been faithful, he's been respectful. So now we'll see, when we come back this afternoon, we'll see a little bit more about what Joseph faces, and we'll see about Jesus Christ and how Jesus, and we'll look at Jesus real quick and how he stood before Pilate. Matthew, the 27th chapter, and we'll close this morning. But Matthew, the 27th chapter, we see as he appeared before Pilate, in verse 11, it said, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Are you king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Do you not hear the many things they witness against you? He says, and he answered to him, Never a word. Never said a word against all the things that were being cast at him. All the dishonorable things that they were mentioning unto Jesus, because all the things that Jesus did, he knew that they were honorable. He knew the things that he was doing were honorable to God, and that his obedience to God stood firm. And so he says, Now at the feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. He says, They had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom is it that I would release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy that they had delivered him. When he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have you nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. The chief priests, the elders, persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. We see how words can be misconstrued. We see how power and authority can be taken and used in the wrong manner. We also have the same authority, we have the same ability to use in the right manner as well, because God has given us the authority to use his word, to accept his word, and to share his word, and to be stewards and to be vessels unto the world around us, to be vessels unto the ones that don't know who Jesus is. You know, as Jesus stood there in verse 14, said that he answered never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Wow, see, sometimes it's not about what we say, it's about what we do, it's about knowing where our heart lies. It's about knowing that we are doing right and that we don't always have to voice our opinion. It's about sometimes knowing when to keep silent, when to stand strong, and when to just trust in God. Because it doesn't matter what we say, is it worth really causing a riot? Is it worth causing anxiety in the world? Is it worth causing anxiety within our families around us just because we trust and believe in God? Is it worth causing a stir and causing chaos when we know that there's nothing good that comes out of it? There's a way to do things, and there's by God's will, there's a way not to do things and misdirect information. So that's important that not only you guys, myself, but that whole world understands that. That it's not always what we say, but it's what we do. in our life that makes the difference. And that's what Joseph has continued to show me so far through his story. So this morning, if you're not a child of God, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, as we're here, that we can come around the Lord's table and we can remember Jesus Christ's death, burial, and his resurrection, and know that Jesus loved us so, so much that even though he prayed for the cup to pass from him, that he knew at the end of the day that he was going to do God's will. And for us and for Jesus, he wants us to all be in him. He wants to be all part of our life this morning. So if you're not a child of God this morning, I invite you this morning, we invite you this morning, that you will come and you've heard the word, you heard the word and you believe it, then act on it. Repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that we'll baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost this morning. And you'll become a child of God, that you can walk that newness of life, and that you can start your spiritual journey and growing closer and growing that relationship with God this morning. And if maybe you're a child of God this morning, and maybe you're struggling, maybe you need prayers, maybe you need prayers for strengthening, for help, for something that you're standing up for and that's just plaguing you and that's bothering you and that you're struggling with, you know, that's okay, because we all struggle. And most importantly, we always all need prayer, and we all need prayer one for another sometimes. And sometimes we won't to specialize and to isolate that problem in that situation. So this morning, if we can be of any assistance, please come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected this morning.